This audio recording is a service of Incarnation Catholic Church, a Roman Catholic parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter. We invite you to visit us in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.incarnationcc.org. We thank you for listening. The following homily was preached on Tuesday, September 3, 2024, the memorial of Pope St. Gregory the Great, by Father William Doc Holliday.
We have this ministration according as we have been shown mercy, and we should faint not. May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in sight of the Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, and then of the Father and Son and Holy Ghost. Amen. These words from St. Paul, 2 Corinthians. He's talking about his ministry, but we have things in Scripture to make us think about our own. No matter where God may call us, we should have the same thoughts as St. Paul did. We have a ministry because God has shown us mercy. He has shown us grace. He's opened our eyes to the truth of the gospel. And now it is incumbent on us, not just incumbent, his command to us to spread that gospel. Again, we've been shown this by God's grace, and we've been given graces to do it. And we should faint not. Really kind of a churchy kind of way to say that what we have going on, the greatness of what we have been shown, should prevent us from ever feeling overwhelmed by any difficulty that we have. First of all, I'm always harping on, it's not what we say, but what we do. Just don't read St. Paul's words. Kind of always keep in the back of your mind what St. Paul endured for this thing. I mean, the man actually, when I say brags about it, he just points out, and brag, he points out, I've been shipwrecked 3 times for the gospel. I've been beaten several times. I've been stoned several times. You know, this guy, he's went through it. He's been put in jail. You know, people, they're always looking to kill St. Paul. And he's never over. He never stops. You always point out that one incident just killed, you get to think about, they stone the man to a point where they stop throwing rocks at him because they think he's dead. And his apostles come, oh, I guess got to bury Paul. You know, he's just another one they've killed. And they, you know, Paul's still alive, gets up and goes back into the city where the people live that just stoned him. That's a man that's not overwhelmed by anything that goes on around him. And he's a human being. St. Paul, when he's going to the Corinthians, and the Holy Spirit has to show up to him in a dream. Don't be afraid. I'll be there with you. Yeah. So there's a reality here, both in what he says, but even more so what he does. This is, we should approach this like this. We hear stories like that with St. Paul, you know, and then we don't want to say something because we might offend someone, or, you know, somebody might get mad at us. Really? Really? It is imperative that we not be overwhelmed by these difficulties. Notice it's difficult. It is, but we ought not be overwhelmed. And this even applies to ourselves. You know, as we get frustrated with ourselves because, you know, sort of like St. Paul, I do what I know I shouldn't do and I don't do what I know I should do. Yeah, that can be, that in and of itself can be overwhelming. To see a stutter step throughout our life of faith, sometimes fall flat on our face, we should not be overwhelmed by that. It's a difficulty. And we should just look at the greatness of what our, we should think of how happy we should be that we're paying attention to falling. There's how many people out there, they're on their face every day because they are fallen and sin cursed and they don't even know any better. This is what we've got going on. And this is what St. Paul wants us to know. We should never be overwhelmed by any difficulties because, and not looking at things triumphalistically, but just the reality of things. When we grudgingly, and you know, it just happens to us again, oh my gosh, it's early in the morning, I'm tired, I get church, get kids together, and all this kind of stuff, listen to them complain about going to church, all this kind of stuff. We should be happy about that. We should be happy because why? Because we're going to church. That should be in the forefront of our mind. Hey, I'm going through all this because we're going to church. You can sleep in. You could sleep in and your life would be a whole lot easier. But guess what? He's not going to like that. He likes it when we come to church, no matter how grudgingly we may do it on occasion. We should never be overwhelmed by this kind of stuff. And this is why it makes it so imperative that we're clear about our message, both through our words and through our life, to be very, very clear about the message. Kind of interesting. Two homilies in a row, Sundays and this morning. Sundays pointed out, don't add to or leave out anything from it. And then the next three verses are left out. St. Paul in this one says, in the older version, it says, we cannot adulterate the word of God. In the newer version, it says, do not tamper with the word of God. And the next two verses are left out. You know, it should kill you. It really should. What are the next two verses? But if our gospel be hid, it is hid from them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine upon them. Why is that left out? Oh, because it talks about lost people. There's like actually people that are lost out there. And yeah, that's our job, to go to them and try to make them not lost anymore. You know, to try to call them into the fold. If we don't know they're there, it makes it very easy, as it's happening in our day. Why is it so easy that we don't proselytize people? Or that we have hierarchs in the church that says proselytism is a sin? Those are his words. Proselytism is a sin. Proselytism is what we're called to do. It's the Great Commission. It's the commandment, okay, of our Lord. Right before he said, that's the last thing he says. Go forth, baptize them, teach them all that I have commanded you. This is the reality. And we live in a day, oh, you don't want to say that to those people. Because they're all right. They claim to be children of Abraham. They're all right. Those people are all right. Oh, and those people that don't even have religion, they've got to be seeking some way in the righteousness of their own heart. As long as they pet puppies and give poor people money, they're good to go. No, they're not. No, they're not. And this tells us. And why is it? This is why we have to be clear. This is not, oh, we can't put that in there because it makes it look like we've got something that they don't. We do. That's what I'm talking about at the beginning. We have something that, and we should be glorious. We should be on our face before Almighty God, giving him thanks that we have that. And that thanks should well out into us and sharing that with other people. And we don't know that there's other people that are lost out there, that the gospel of Christ has not shined upon them. It's not because God is arbitrary and he shines on some people and not on others. St. Paul said, we've got to go reach them and give them the gospel. This is the reality of what we have to do. This is our command. We've got to manifest the truth. That's what these two verses that were left out is that we need to go. You don't tamper with the word of God because there's lost people out there. And you need to be very clear so they're not lost anymore. If you adulterate it, if you tamper with it, it's not going to be attractive to them. They don't know they're lost. If you don't tell them you're lost, your soul's in danger. If you do not tell them that, they don't know it. This is what St. Paul saw. I went and don't tamper with it. And then we tamper with it. It's amazing. Absolutely amazing. And today's memorials, St. Gregory the Great. St. Gregory the Great, his pope in the late 6th and early 7th century. This is like way back in the day. The church has just really kind of become established to where people aren't throwing us the lions and things like that. It's only been about 100 or so years where that stopped. And Pope Gregory the Great, way back in the day, he's one of the few popes until actually more modern times, like after the Middle Ages, we have more of what he's written than any other pope. More things that have been handed down from him. You know, we've had other things from other popes, of course, but as far as an amount of stuff, why did the Holy Spirit maintain that? Because that's why we call him St. Pope Gregory the Great. This man, you look at his life, he was a politician. In his early life, he's a politician. I mean, straight up temporal politician. In other words, then he becomes a monk. Back in the day, politicians, particularly around Rome, politicians, you know, they were rich people. When he gets religious, he actually builds a monastery on his own property. Kind of nice to be rich and be faithful, I guess. I'll build my own church. Yeah, he builds his own monastery. People start hanging out. You know, he lives a being pejorative, he did a great job. Build a monastery around it, saying he's living a very pious and holy life. So holy there. Hey, the guy that built the monastery on his land, the guy used to be a politician, ordained him to the diaconate, starts helping the Pope. Boom, Pope. I mean, it's quick. It's quick. So, he's got a lot of background, practically speaking. He just wasn't born and handed over to monks and lived his life among the faithful. This is what made him such a good Pope, because he understood how to administer things, because he had been a politician. He was a good one, too. So he knew how to do diplomacy, and he knew how to talk to people. He knew how to schmooze people when he had to. You know, he's a politician. But he brought that forward and used it for the glory of Christ, unadulterated, because he was up in people's faces. Kind of interesting. I was reading a story about him last night, or actually an account of him by a historian. The historian was obviously, I don't want to say he's not a man of faith, obviously wasn't, let us just say, where St. Gregory was. Because he talked about St. Gregory, and he said, yeah, St. Gregory, he wasn't all that academic, and he had a very crude theology. And I wrote it down because I wanted to. And he was excessively devoted to saints, miracles, and relics. This makes the point of what St. Paul says about it. Light has not shined on people. This guy is a historian. He's like an example of when I want to talk about knowledge and kind of a lack of wisdom. He knows all these facts about St. Gregory, but he doesn't like him. Why? He doesn't understand relics and miracles. He doesn't understand saints. This is why he's Pope St. Gregory and you're a historian. Don't be critical about that thing. I'm an academician. Yes, you are. And that's why you don't perceive the glories of Christ that are shining through Pope St. Gregory. It shows the marked difference. And that historian wrote that in the 1980s. Okay, so we're not talking like way back in the day. You did it. No. But I mean, that's what happens when people don't know the gospel and they don't know the fullness of the faith. Like I said, I'm not saying the guy don't go to church, or I don't even know if he's a Catholic or not. But at the end of the day, you know, most people got to have some kind of religion if they're going to write on religious subjects. But I mean, he didn't get it. This is what we need to do, shine the light of the gospel on them so they do get it. We need to be focused on this. One of Pope St. Gregory the Great's, he's got a lot of quotes from him. But one of them, in Latin, it's age quod agis. Very simple. Do what you're doing. It's like, what do you mean with that? Do what you're doing. In a context of our faith and presenting the gospel, keep focus. Keep focus. Do what you're doing. Don't be doing that and start thinking about something else. Or don't be doing that and consider that you might offend somebody. Do what you're doing. Keep focus. Serve. That's the gospel today, right? You call me Lord. I'm here to serve you. Who's greater, the one who serves or the one that's sitting at the table? Of course, the one sitting at the table, but here I am your Lord and I'm serving you. Jesus was the personification of age quod agis. Focus. Focus on what you're supposed to do. Focus on what you're supposed to be presenting to people. Why? So they learn. Why did Jesus serve the apostles when he's greater than them? Because he wanted the apostles to know that they needed to serve people, although they were apostles, just like St. Paul. So this is why because we have been shown mercy by God. And we've been shown that mercy and that grace. We should be very thankful for it. And first and foremost, that thankfulness should be in doing what he tells us to do. And that's telling all people everywhere what he has said, all of it. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and Holy Ghost.